Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three on a thankful Thursday. That's what we call it. It's a thankful Thursday. Hey, I got to touch base again on this story about Mike Waltz. That's the dipper inside the dippers right now, right? So the story about National Security Advisor Mike Waltz no longer being National Security Advisor, something occurred to me a while ago, and then I just saw Jennifer Griffin, you know, Fox News Channel's senior Pentagon correspondent. She said something that I was considering too. Have you noticed, by the way, that the word got out, you know, Mike Waltz, he's been fired, he's ousted, and the press immediately went rabid, which, I mean, it's a story, so I give him props for that. It's a story. But the press went rabid with speculation that the Trump administration was falling apart. Rolling Stone was gleeful over it. No telling what some of the other, you know, the Axioses and the Huffington Post and others had to say. But then it came out like 3 hours later that he's also being tapped to be the ambassador to the UN. Huh. Okay. Now, Jennifer Griffin just says this: after more than 3 hours of allowing news of his National Security Advisor's ouster to hang unanswered, President Trump, with a post, praising Waltz in nominating him to the top ambassador role at the UN. Here's Trump's post. He says, quote, this is from his Truth Social account. He says, I am pleased to announce that I'll be nominating Mike Waltz to be the next United States ambassador to the United Nations. From his time in uniform on the battlefield, in Congress, and as my national security advisor, Mike Waltz has worked hard to put our nation's interests first. I know he'll do the same in his new role. In the interim, Secretary of State Marco Rubio will serve as national security advisor while continuing his strong leadership at the State Department. Together, we will continue to fight tirelessly to make America and the world safe again. Thank you for your attention to this matter. All right, I go back to if he was doing a stellar job and was seen as being indispensable in his current role at National Security Advisor, they wouldn't be moving him over. But I also believe that Trump decided, you know, something screwed up and it was on your watch and I got to deal with it, but I like you and so I'm not going to just trash you. That's what I think is happening here.
But also, I think part of the strategy was to let everybody freak out over for 3 hours.
Make
them tie themselves in a knot so then when he releases that, they just look stupid and lose all credibility.
And then all of a sudden they go, oh.
Yep.
Womp, womp, womp.
Yeah, I think he's toying with them a little bit.
You have a sound effect like that, don't you? So Trump let them stew and...
Oh, sorry. Was that my cue with it?
Yes. Okay.
I was waiting for a more emphatic cue.
Just like suck the life out of my joke. Okay. No, all right. Anyway, that's where we are right now. Mike Waltz has been, but I saw too, Democrats are just licking their chops right now. They can't wait because they get another bite at the apple. Now they get to do a confirmation hearing with Michael Waltz and excoriate him as the harbinger of doom for the United States, as the guy who couldn't run the job, as the one who's already been fired in the first 100 days. Okay, he's been fired, but he's been being confirmed to another job. Okay, we'll see. By the way, there's also a video going on right now, and I'm watching. It's still going, JP. It's still going. So Kamala apparently gave a speech in San Francisco yesterday. And if she's not stoned, if she didn't have a handful of gummies before she walked out there, I don't know. But, I mean, she is absolutely a cackling hyena. She is completely, like, I mean, listen, we so dodged a bullet.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Oh, my gosh, we dodged a bullet.
You tell me you don't want to hear the cackle for 4 years?
I don't want the constant questions about what does she say? I mean, I got so sick of that. As vice president, when she would speak, you'd walk away going, I don't know what she just said. And I don't think she does either.
I saw Caroline Leavitt today said, I speak for everybody in this administration. We encourage Kamala Harris to keep doing speaking engagements to prove that we made the right choice.
All right, let's jump on topic number two. Dipper number two, Ukraine, with an exclamation point. Ukraine. Been a lot of things happen the last 24 hours. I think the story on Michael Waltz is sort of taking center stage right now. But we've got, if you haven't seen it, we've got a picture that to me has incredible imagery. At Pope Francis's funeral just last week, President Trump and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky took a moment. They grabbed a couple of chairs and literally dragged them over into the center of a room, and they sat down face to face, actually leaned in so they could have a quiet conversation. But they weren't in the back room. They weren't, you know, it wasn't like they had to have all their people. In fact, even Emmanuel Macron from France walked over, wanted to be a part of the conversation. They had a third chair brought over, and Trump's like, put his hand on his chest, said, no, that's okay, we got this.
Not enough people were talking about that part of the clip, by the way.
That's a hilarious part of the clip.
Like the fact there were three chairs.
You're the one that showed me that.
Yeah. And I was like, is nobody else seeing this? That there were three chairs and Macron, you know, got told to go pound sand.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Take a lap, Macron.
Yeah.
But so story on that. Got a piece here from Fox News. Dateline yesterday. Headline, President Trump reveals what he told Zelensky during a viral meeting at the Pentagon. A couple things. One is Trump said, I was telling him it's a very good thing if we can produce a deal that you sign it because Russia is much bigger and much stronger. So he's basically looking at it and going, you can't win this. And I think there's some belief that that's still true. Obviously, Ukraine has been putting the wood to Russia, but the it's a war of attrition at this point. It's an absolute war of attrition. And Russia has more they can attrit, if you know what I mean. But then Trump also said, he told me he needs more weapons, but he's been saying that for 3 years. He says, we're going to see what happens. I want to see what happens with respect to Russia because, you know, Russia, I've been surprised and disappointed, very disappointed. They did the bombing of those places after discussions. So basically they had a hashing it out conversation. Zelensky said this about it. He said, we discussed a lot one-on-one, hoping for results on everything that we recovered, protecting the lives of our people, full unconditional ceasefire, reliable and lasting peace that will prevent another war from breaking out. It was a very symbolic meeting, has the potential to become historic if we can achieve joint results. What that tells me is both presidents walked away believing they had a substantive conversation. And it was not a trading of platitudes or comfortable remarks. They walked away. Trump's flat out said, I told him, I don't know if you can win the long run. And you know, and he says he wants more weapons. I don't know if we can give you more weapons. We'll see. So he left that with a maybe. But then you got this. Our special envoy is one of my favorite military pundits. I would put General Jack Keane at the top of the list for military punditry. But right after him is Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg. Just a great guy. He was actually Mike Pence's national security advisor, if I'm not mistaken. But U.S. Special Envoy Keith Kellogg, see, he's been assigned by Trump to be the special envoy to the Ukraine delegation or to the Ukraine peace efforts. U.S. Special Envoy Keith Kellogg said on April 30th he does not expect Washington to abandon the peace efforts despite previous threats from the White House. He says the Ukrainians have always said they're willing to give up the land, just not de jure, forever, but de facto because the Russians actually occupy it. That's what they're willing to do. They told me that last week. So what he's saying is, the Ukrainians realize they probably won't go back to where they were before the war. They want as much as they can keep. Obviously, it's their land. It was their country before the war. They want as much back as possible. They'll probably never get Crimea. If you remember, the entire Crimean Peninsula, which is the portion that extends down into the Black Sea and gives warm water ports to whomever controls it, that was lost back during the Obama-Biden administration. And nobody said boo about it. Obama just kind of blinked and went, huh. That just happened on my watch. Okay, next story. And Russia just annexed the entire Crimean Peninsula. And then they came in during the Biden administration, of course, and invaded Ukraine proper. The U.S. has threatened to walk away, y'all. They have. President Trump has threatened to walk away from the whole thing and say, I'm washing my hands of you if they don't begin to broker a true ceasefire. What he's trying to do is force them to the table. At the same time, something big just happened. Where is that story? Why am I not seeing the story that I think is the most important? Here it is. It's on the third or fourth down. Here it is in my stack. Because y'all, I bring stacks. In my calloused former paratrooper hands, I hold a story from Fox News, Dateline May 1st. Ukraine signs the deal to give U.S. access to rare minerals with Trump administration committed to a peace process, says Secretary Bessent. This is not a rumor. This is not a sources say. This is a confirmed thing. They signed the agreement. I've seen pictures of the signature being put on ink. Ukrainian economy minister and deputy prime minister Yulia Shrivdenko flew to Washington, D.C. Wednesday and finalized the deal. On behalf of the government of Ukraine, she said, I signed the agreement on the establishment of a United States-Ukraine Reconstruction Investment Fund together with the United States. We're creating the fund that will attract global investment to our country. What does this do? This is why it's huge. One of the don't for a second think that Russia invaded Ukraine because they were scared of NATO. NATO was already there. Now, granted, it was provocative and it could factor in, but it was not the only factor. Because at no time did Russia believe that Ukraine was going to invade Russia. And at no time did they believe that somehow NATO was going to step up and just invade now that we're one country closer. You've already got Poland. You've got the Baltic states. You've got, you know, Georgia asking to be admitted. And you've got, of course, most of Western Europe. NATO is all around them. They don't like it. I get that. I don't think we'd like it either if Russia had a proxy state like in Cuba. Oh, that's right. We've been through that. So, yes, I get it. That's not the only factor. Russia's economy is sucking wind right now. Sucking wind. Russia's economy needs something to stimulate it. Russia used the false flag that there were a lot of people of Russian descent over there in Ukraine that felt disenfranchised, and so we had to step in and help them because Russia's always for human rights, right? Russia's always about helping people. Sure, that's what they do. Russia only does things when it benefits people and the good of mankind. Shut up. Russia is a territorial grabber. Russia is an absolute pariah on the world stage. They have been for decades. What Russia saw next door in Ukraine was several things. They saw the breadbasket of Europe. All right, so agricultural industry in Ukraine is huge. Russia needs more of that. They saw energy production. Most of Europe's nuclear energy stems from Ukraine. Did you know that? It does. And they also saw, oh, by the way, massive deposits of rare earth minerals. Rare earth minerals, things like lithium and all it takes to make batteries and microchips and the things it takes to power the 21st century. Massive deposits in Ukraine that Russia wanted. Guess who's got a contract for it now? The United States of America. When we come back from this break, I'll tell you more about that. We just signed a deal with them that I think is going to carry us forward for the next 50 years or more. And I'll tell you what it means to Ukraine. It's not just good for us. And I'll tell you what it means to Russia. This is a big deal, y'all. It's flying under the radar right now, but it's a big, hairy deal. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. Hey, real quick, I got to tell you, I'll keep stepping back to the story as it develops, but Mike Waltz himself just tweeted out. He said, I am deeply honored to continue my service to President Trump and our great nation. So that's interesting. That is absolutely his gray checkmark official capacity X feed right there, sending out the message that he was actually retweeting the message from Donald Trump. I tell you what, on that same topic, I think I got a caller from out of state. Let me grab it real quick. Tyler from New Jersey. Hey, Tyler, how you doing?
I'm good, and you?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. What part of New Jersey are you from?
Morris County.
Outstanding. Well, I appreciate it. I was actually born up that way at what used to be called Fort Monmouth.
Sure. I know where it is. Well,
what can I do for you?
Yeah, so we all know that Trump said he would end the Ukraine war on day one and it would be easy. That has aged well. His main guy is Steve Witkoff handling that task. Do you know what kind of expertise or background Steve Witkoff has?
I think he has the kind that President Trump trusted. And I'm very aware that Steve Witkoff had some trouble and served his time, but I'm also aware that he was a pretty successful businessman.
Right. But does he have a background in Russia or Ukraine or foreign relations or international diplomacy? You know, the things that would maybe come in handy.
I don't know. I mean, I look at it and think, did Barack Obama have any qualifications to be president other than the fact that he was a senator for 2 years after being a community activist? I don't know. What do you think?
why are you so pathetically changing the topic to our president from 12 years ago?
So you're calling in right now because you want to take it to task, but you don't want to hear somebody put it back to you. Is that right?
Yeah, so does Trump deliberately hire totally incompetent and unqualified people?
I don't know. What you ask,
which they always.
I don't know. What you ask Joe Biden, who didn't know what day it was when he was looking for his ice cream and his pudding time. You got
Biden,
Samuel Brenton, who was a fetish Biden, kink activist, who was stealing luggage from the airport, who had a security clearance working in the nuclear industry. What does that do for the Trump or the Biden administration? I mean, I think the bottom line is you want to call in here and you want to try and make fun and poke, but you've got the most qualified, competent, bunch of type A people running the country right now, and you don't know what to do about it.
Right. Why do you keep bringing up Biden? Biden sucked. Tell me something I don't know.
Well, he was your candidate, I take
Biden
it.
All the time.
So were you a Biden voter?
No. No.
Were you a Kamala Harris voter?
Yes.
Well, okay. So what are you trying to say?
Harris was a horrible, horrible candidate, but she would have been better than this unmitigated disaster.
She was a cackling hyena who did not know her backside from both hands. I mean,
you're right, but she didn't try to overturn an election, did she?
Actually, you think? Is that really what you're going to stick with? I mean, you want to go back to 2020 and find out whether she did or did not? I think the end result is, Tyler, by the way, I appreciate the fact that you listen to the show. That is probably one of the ways you can cure some of what you're going through right now. But the reality is you're not going to get there. You're not going to get there by calling in and pretending that you can say insults and it's just going to stick, because you're going to get it handed right back to you, man. We got 4 years of evidence.
I love hitting you clowns over the head. It's fun.
I know you think you just did. And wow. Anyway, try again some other time, Tyler, and maybe go ahead and study up and have your insults a little more polished before you call in next time. All right, listen, the break is upon us. We're about to hit it right now, Tyler from New Jersey. That was so cheesy. All right, you guys, we're going to come right back, and I'll get back on topic and tell you about what I was about to tell you about that rare earth minerals deal in Ukraine. It's a game changer, and I'll tell you how it's laid out. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Whew. I mean, it goes from like Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden, all the way down to that lovely little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the border from there to what we now get to call, once again, Fort Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Got a bunch of text messages. A lot of them responding to Tyler's call. and I got a call on the line. Let me grab that real quick. He held on during the break, and I appreciate it. Mark from Madison. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Doing good, sir. Appreciate the tact that you use to handle the so-called New Jersey guy. I actually feel sorry for him because I feel like his parents just didn't love him. Because if they did, they would have given him plenty of butt whippings back in the day to keep him from being so tough to just call people clowns and throw out insults. And, I'm kind of one of those individuals to where I miss the days where somebody pops off enough that it's kind of like, hey, 5:30 behind the gym, let's go and see how tough you are. But I know he's not that way, or maybe he is. He's been kicked out of New Jersey and can't handle that. But, you know, I think that whether you like Trump or not, I think the Republicans need to keep being tougher. There was a video today where one of the, I think it may have been like Newsmax or one of them, where they were trying to interview, Omar.
Oh, yeah.
And ask her questions, and she drops an F off. And it's kind of like, okay, they're coming at those things. So we know we're winning because it's pushing them to a level where they can't even have just common decency and tact, so that their way is just to go completely loony. But I find it, apparently he doesn't listen to your show enough, because I don't think that I would, clown would not be something that I would ever call you. he's a complete idiot, and it just shows how much they're winning, because him and Kareem and some of these guys that call in, it's like, guys, I don't even see. Y'all have gone almost like mental illness with some of these things that you're saying now.
Well, I'll be honest with you, too. The funny thing is, Kareem and I can actually talk. I mean, like, Kareem will call in and rant, but we'll go back and forth. But the other day he called in, and we actually agreed completely on what he called in about. So
I think Kareem is an actual closet Republican. I really do. I just think that he trying to think the right word. A lot of times on the internet they would call them flamers, but that could get you confused with something else these days. But a troll, or I think he just likes to elicit, you know, and throw things out just to get a reaction. But deep down, you know, you listen to some of his stuff, probably a good dad and a good community guy, and realizes that Trump's not all that bad. He's like the, I'm trying to think, there's a guy that's always on Fox that has the Trump hat. Yeah. I think maybe Kareem actually sits around in a Trump hat.
Mark, call in anytime, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate
Thank you. I'm going to talk about the Ukraine deal. I swear I am. Listen, it's my show. Do you mind if I talk on my show about my things?
Nah, go ahead. I mean, in Tyler's fairness, he did criticize on the Ukraine topic. So, you know, it was kind of on topic until sure. We got into insults.
Sure he did. Shag Nasty the Atheist coming to Tyler's rescue. He said, I'd love to hear anyone on your show make a single good faith argument. Here come the callers mildly advocating for violence, he says. Stop it, Shag. Come on. Come back to the light, Shag. All right, so the Ukraine deal, can I please? All right, so here's the deal. This is not just the United States gets to mine rare earth minerals and take them home. It's not. The Ukrainians do not have the capacity to mine what's there. The world needs it. And so what we're looking at right now is a deal that says, remember I said Russia wanted this, right? Most of these rare earth deposits, if I'm not mistaken, looking at the map, are towards the eastern side of Ukraine, very near the war zone. Russia does not want NATO to be designated, Ukraine to be designated a NATO nation, because then you have the articles of NATO requiring that if one is attacked, they all have to respond. It's not that NATO is going to invade Russia. It's that Russia doesn't want to deal with the fact that they want Ukraine and they don't want to have to worry about whether NATO is going to force to respond due to the articles of the NATO convention. That being said, they want what's in there. And so they tried to take ground that covered these rare earth minerals. That was one of the reasons they wanted the country. That being said, too, here comes the United States. I'm talking about with the air horn, just rolling in. Well, not under the Biden administration. What did they do? How much money do you want? I don't know. We're just in it for the long haul. We don't have a plan. We don't need plans. What's the plan? Well, the plan is how much money do you need? We're in it for the long haul. That was the plan for 4 years, 3 years. Now you got President Trump, who has really, I'll paraphrase it for you, he has looked at Zelensky in the eye and said, we've given you a buttload of money, and we expect something in return. And here's the thing, we're not going to make you a NATO nation. That's off the table, by the way. That's off the table. It's been said that's off the table. We're not going to make you a NATO nation. But what I will do is this. We need rare earth minerals. You've got them. We'll come mine them, and we'll give you half of what comes in because of it. And we'll put that, if you don't mind, we'll put that into a fund. So we're not going to fund corruption in your government. What we're going to do is we're going to fund a reconstruction fund that will be administered like a trust fund for the people of Ukraine. And it will be a reconstruction and rejuvenation fund that brings in new industry and helps rebuild what's been torn down. Oh, by the way, now Russia's got to deal with the fact that, oh, crap, it's not NATO, but it's an absolute U.S. interest. And that really jimmies up their works. So I'm just telling you, this was friggin' 4D chess right here. This was Trump saying, art of the deal. Here's something. We spent billions over there. How about we get some of that back? Oh, I don't know. How about we do it this way? And that'll also jimmy up Russia's ability to be aggressive. And oh, by the way, it'll help restore what's in Ukraine. That's where we are. I think it's a brilliant move. The deal was signed yesterday. The deal begins to move forward immediately. Ukraine has deposits of lithium, graphite, manganese, which are used in electric vehicle batteries. We've got massive ability to to take out deposits of titanium, which we use for making aircraft wings and other aerospace manufacturing. We got uranium, which can be mined in massive quantities, which is for nuclear power, medical equipment, and for weapons, for that matter. And then, I guarantee you, Trump's going to say, hey, you need some more weapons? We sell those. That's what he's going to say. And Russia's going to go, crap.
Yeah, and I'll say this. And I mean, when we talked yesterday about the one up, one down, what was my down? That the Ukraine conflict hasn't been solved yet. Like, I'm very much as annoyed that this hasn't been, you know, solved yet. Although, I'm going to say, I don't think it's on Trump's side. Like, Trump has been working tirelessly and got this deal done. When you look at, and I know he said, well, stop talking about Biden, but look back, Biden, his strategy was give the money, give the money, give the money. Like, I'd much rather have a president who's working on it and getting deals like this done, even though it wasn't done in one day, you know, whatever. I think that the signing of the deal is a great sign of progress. So I would take progress over no strategy, just give them money until we bankrupt ourselves.
Yeah, and here's what's going to happen now. I agree. And here's what's going to happen now, too. In the negotiations, Witkoff, the envoy that Tyler from New Jersey doesn't like, is going to look at the envoy from Russia and say, you realize that's our mine now.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to stay up off our mine.
Yeah.
Russia's Medvedev, Dmitry Medvedev, senior Russian security official, said that the signing of the mineral deals between Ukraine and the United States is really just, you know, Donald Trump forcing Kiev to pay for future U.S. military aid. You think? You think? I mean, like he's saying that, like, this is a bad thing. It's bad for Russia. Yeah, this is absolutely an arrangement that has been made. This is brinksmanship. Go look up the word if you're not sure, familiar with it, Tyler. Go look up brinksmanship. What you just saw was actual brinksmanship, where you posture on the world stage in such a way that the others don't know what to do with you. They can't work around you. They can't get past you. And they recognize you have just one-upped them, and you did it without firing a shot. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. All right, tell you what else have I got in the stack? I had so much about Russia, Ukraine, and then I got waylaid by, I kept talking about Michael Waltz and other things. But I will say this, J.D. Vance did make the comment, and I've got this piece from The Hill yesterday. I hold it in my calloused former paratrooper hands. Vice President Vance said that Russia and Ukraine do face a very big gulf as the two countries make demands to negotiate the end of the war. Ukraine just made a big deal with America, and that's good for Ukraine. That's also good for Ukraine's ability to have peace, because now we have one more piece of leverage against Russia, like, don't screw with our mining. President Trump has sought to cease fighting and get Russia and Ukraine to agree to a deal, says TheHill.com, but Vice President J.D. Vance says they still got a long way to go. They got up to 5,000 people dying every single week. Think about that. 5,000 a week. You don't even know the half of the combat that's been going on the front lines. This is World War II epic level combat.
I mean, if you're one of the types that likes watching, you know, footage of what's going on, it literally is trench warfare, World War II, World War I stuff.
Absolutely.
And it's like, I don't think people realize it's just a meat grinder.
And we have not seen like tank-on-tank warfare like we're seeing over there since World War II.
And
we had some episodes, but nothing like this.
Drone warfare in trenches is horrifying, too.
Oh, it's a proving ground right now. It's a proving ground for new technologies to include craziness. Like, listen, Ukraine is doing some crazy stuff, like going and buying basically Walmart drones, strapping grenades to them and turning them into little suicide bombs and flying them over the trenches and dropping them on top of Russian soldiers.
It's terrifying.
The EU, according to Reuters, the EU is readying a plan B should Trump walk away from Ukraine talks. I don't think Trump's going to walk away. I think he's going to stay on top of it because he wants that mineral deal too. The European Union, though, is preparing a plan B. Well, they better. How about this? Here's an idea, European Union. Why aren't you part of plan A? Where's that headline, Reuters? Why is the European Union preparing a plan B and America has to come across the ocean to do the plan A? And yet European Union preparing Plan B on how to keep economic sanctions against Russia should the Trump administration abandon the Ukraine peace talks and seek rapprochement with Moscow. Russia's going to get something out of this. They are. Let's just be honest. Russia's going to be told they can keep Crimea and no one will ever question it again. Russia might keep a little bit of the Donbass region. I don't know. We'll wait and see. But Russia's not going to get to keep the war, all right? Russia's not going to get all of Kyiv and all of the rest of Ukraine. Russia's not going to get to say its borders now are back touching Poland. It's going to have to pull back, and the fighting's going to have to stop. But the idea that the EU, which this is their turf, the EU is Plan B, God almighty. How about EU please be part of Plan A? That'd be huge. All right, listen, I got a ton of text messages, and I'm going to grab a few right now and then go to a break. Badger from Athens says, do you think we'll put a base or a military presence in Ukraine now? I don't know. There's been a promise that we would not put our own boots on the ground. But I think, here's what I think, Badger. I think that there will be a peacekeeping force. It'll be mostly European, maybe some African, believe it or not. I think the United States, though, is going to bolster. You watch. The United States is going to say, we're not in Ukraine. But yet you're going to see major new basing in Poland right next door, and you're going to see major new basing probably in the Baltics. So stand by for that. But I don't think we'll put it in Ukraine proper because I think that would be too provocative. Matt from Madison said, I'm so tired of the bleeding hearts wanting to discount and ignore the last four Sleepy Joe years as if he had nothing to do with where we are now. Yeah, exactly. John from Brownsboro says, I love the rope-a-dope that Trump pulled on the media. I think they suspected a mole on Waltz's staff was causing the signal mishaps and couldn't pinpoint who it was, so they fired all of them and gave him a more public position now that's not as sensitive and a new staff altogether. We'll see. Jim from Huntsville says, Senator, the rare minerals deal with Ukraine may have potential to improve tariff leverage over China, too. That, Jim, great point. I had not even gone down that road yet. All right. You just expanded my horizons. Good job. Lynn from Tanner, Alabama says, looks like Shag is a jellyhead. Okay. Jeff from Indiana says, you know, Phil, Kamala Harris had her little online speech the other day, and she was talking in three-word sentences like she was addressing kindergartners. But then again, I had to think, well, she is addressing Democrats. So they're on the same grade level. Joe from Elkmont says, 99.999% of your thousands of listeners just grew even less fond of New Jersey. Robert from Hazel Green says, Tyler, sounds like you might dress up in girls' underwear and read dirty books to little kids. Okay, no, I don't think so. Well, I hope not. All right, we're taking a break. I'll get a few more text messages. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back.